Welcome back to another episode of the PAX, which she said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, who is in a brand new city for the first time recording in a very long time. Well, I guess we were just in California, but new city in New York, at least. So
new neighborhood. Yes.
New neighborhood.
New borough. I'm in a new borough. So hopefully soon I'll have a more fun background for those that watch on YouTube. But for now, bear with me as I think everyone at some point understands the pains of moving, so don't need to
everybody's here.
I know, but we're here. It's the first week of training camp. Like, real football is on the timeline. It's still unpadded, but it's real.
Yeah, it's real. And so far, I mean, there's plenty to talk about. We'll get into the sights and sounds. We're not there. So a lot of this is what we're gathering secondhand from social media and people that we talk to that are there live. But first, wanted to talk about contracts that were signed and have yet to be signed, starting, of course, with Kenny Clark. Very deserved contract, third contract for him, which is, you know, pretty rare for the Packers. Ted Thompson's last pick still with the Packers, which is really special too. That broke Sunday right before camp on a 3-year deal worth, I think it was $64 million. So spreading out some of his money and keeping him around a bit longer in Green Bay. Won't hit free agency until 2027/2028 now.
Yeah, and he'll still be like quite young.
He'll still be 25.
He's never aging. No, but he, it's very deserved. I know there's been a lot of talk on social media about, you know, the Packers don't like to give out third contracts and, you know, la-di-da. But I think I want to clarify that statement, because there's been a decent amount of talk of like, well, they have given out third contracts. I mean, they gave out three contracts to like a Mercedes Lewis, or they've given out a three contracts to Keyshawn Nixon and things like that. I think it, when people say like the elusive third contract, what I mean when I'm talking about this, and I'm sure you agree, is the blockbuster deal.
Yeah.
You know, not the 1-year deals, right? We're talking about these big multi-year mega extensions.
They should retire a Packer kind of deals.
Exactly. They don't do this often, and they don't do it for a lot of guys who a lot of fans think it should get them and deserve them. Like, there's been a ton of guys who, I mean, we can name a hell of a long list: Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, like guys that they've just let walk. And so again, it's really great to see Kenny get this money. It's deserved. He's played up to that standard. I think we make a lot of jokes again about his age, but his age certainly plays a factor. He's still only 28 years old. He's going to be a free agent in, you said, 2027. So in 3 years, 4 years, he'll still be in his early 30s. And we've seen guys on the defensive line like Clayes Campbell, you know, Vita Vea, guys who play like well beyond that. You can look at Preston Smith, even, who's older than Kenny would be when he finishes out this deal. So I think this is a good deal on both sides. I'm so glad it's done. I thought it was like perfectly in line money-wise with what Kenny is worth. So he's going to produce. He's going to eat in this new defense. And the Packers need him. He's like the linchpin. He's the cornerstone of this defensive line, this front. And I'm so happy that he's going to stay a Packer and more than likely retire with the team.
Yeah. I mean, he was coming off his best statistical season of 7.5 sacks, and you see kind of the supporting cast and the way it's building around him. We talked about it, like Devontae Wyatt's entering his third season. TJ Slayton is there. You've got Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks as ascending players entering their second year, but your perception of the entire defensive line changes if Kenny's out of that picture. Like, you're talking about a really potentially great line that is like okay without Kenny there, because he just elevates everybody around him and makes them so much better. So a really deserved deal, really exciting piece. And when the Cheesehead TV guys, Nagler and Benke, had Brian Gutekunst on, I thought it was really interesting because he had mentioned that they weren't going to move forward with a Clark extension until Jordan Love was done. So I know that's not how it ended up working out. Obviously, Kenny's is done and Jordan's is not, but you have to feel like everybody's pretty comfortable with where things are at, or they wouldn't have gotten the Kenny Clark done, the Kenny contract done. That would have probably been like a September thing. So I know it's frustrating for fans that the Jordan Love deal isn't done yet. We can kind of segue into that now, but definitely should be an optimistic sign for them knowing that it's close.
That's exactly how I felt too. I think you don't feel confident that at least the bones of the Jordan Love contract is done, right? I'm sure there are details that they're still working through and the finalization, but you don't sign Kenny if you don't feel like you're anywhere close to Jordan. I mean, you just said it. Goot said it literally out loud for all of us to hear. Kenny is going to come second. So Jordan has to be days away. I feel like we all feel like it could drop. The news could drop at any moment at this point. I know the goal was to have it be done by training camp. That obviously has not happened. So any day now. I want to ask you how you feel about the no practicing and that situation, because I know that's been a huge topic of discussion. I can get a hunch about how you feel because I feel we probably have the same thoughts around it, but it's obviously a very sensitive spot, you know, for a player to like decide to quote unquote hold out, not play, not practice, etc., while they're waiting for a contract. So like, what are your thoughts on the choice and like the way Jordan's doing it?
Honestly, if he wasn't in the building at all, I would have a tougher time with that. I still understand it. You know, like I wouldn't fault him for doing that because that is certainly a way of holding out. And maybe that would indicate to me that they're farther apart than we think, yeah, you know, for negotiations. But I think the fact that he's still in the building and still on the field, just not throwing, you know, and dressed is a good sign for everybody. And it shows how much he cares about the team and what kind of leader he is and that he wants to be involved. Like we've seen clips, you know, throughout training camp this week where he'll like coach up Pratt or coach up Clifford if he sees something that they're doing. And the fact that he's still in meetings and he wants to be so involved, like I think that says a lot. And I don't think that he would be doing that if the two sides are really far apart. The flip side of that, of course, is that we'll get into it, but it sounds like the offense is really struggling without him out there. And of course, we've had 3 days of practice, so that's it. You know, the offense, I think, struggles a lot earlier than the defense does, so that's not really surprising. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't think it means a ton that the offense is struggling, but knowing that he's the starter and the kind of money that he's going to get paid, he's probably not going to play in the preseason, I would imagine. So I think getting him on the field for as much of training camp as possible has got to be the priority. And I think that's why there's probably some anxiousness from fans and from the coaches, because it's just naturally a different offense when he's out there. So that's what's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel similarly. Naturally, I think the fact that he's there and with the team and present and doing all the things that you mentioned, I think says everything. I think that should like kind of put to rest any thoughts around this being like a quote unquote true holdout, yeah, and have there be any like negativity surrounding it. It just is like my people and the Packers people have to finish this thing out. And my people have said, we don't want you to get hurt until it's done. So please be safe. And that's just it. And in the meantime, you know, I'm going to be here and be part of the team until they let me like press go. I feel like he probably is itching to be practicing right now. I don't know if this is necessarily like a Jordan Love choice. So I think he's doing everything like within his power. In the same vein, you know, it also from the Packers standpoint, like it was like, I understand. It's just in everyone's best interest to get this done as soon as possible. I think this is a tricky contract. I don't think this is like a super straightforward contract. A lot of people in my personal life have been asking me about it. Obviously, it's like all over The Athletic and the news and everyone's talking about it. And they have been getting on like, what do you think? And I'm like, it's going to be a mega deal, right? We've talked about where we think the money's going to be and where we think, you know, the years are going to be, et cetera, but it's not going to just be a very simple, you know, 4-year, $55 million deal, like wipe your hands, be done. I think there's going to be causes and incentives and, you know, things of that nature. The Packers just do those kinds of, you know, nitty gritty details. And I think that's probably what they're working out right now, especially to maneuver the cap, front load, back load, whatever it is they want to do to make sure they can keep some of their older vets. Like we've talked on this show this offseason a ton about them, like looking forward to about like all the guys they're going to need to pay in the next coming years. And I'm sure they're doing some like Tetris around that as well. So hopefully in the next few days, but to your point, it behooves the rest of the team to have Jordan out there. I don't think that anyone is getting like the best of their reps without QB1. The defense obviously is not, the offense is obviously not. And yes, we've been hearing, if we want to like transition into the training camp piece of this, that the defense is dominating, they're eating, et cetera. And that's great. I love hearing about all like the aggressiveness and the sacks and the interceptions, but you take everything with a grain of salt because they're going up against Sean Clifford.
Yeah. And I don't want to steal the thunder from this, but if you're a stat person, tomorrow Andrew Mertig and I are going to talk about a lot of these 2023 numbers on Pack-A-Day. And the thing that I found so interesting when I was like doing a deep dive is that, you know, for the people that are kind of nervous about Jordan Love's first half of the season and, you know, should the Packers pay him mega money given the way that he performed the first half of the season, if you extrapolate those numbers and you spread out those numbers for a full 17-game season, it's mm-hmm. right on par with like Trevor Lawrence's first season as a starter, Jalen Hurts, Tua. And I think that's the tricky part, right? Is Trevor Lawrence just got $55 million a year. Jalen Hurts is at $51 million a year. Tua's also in a holdout because Tua wants to get paid and Jordan Love wants to get paid. And everybody is kind of jockeying for these guaranteed monies and these deals. And I think every quarterback situation also looks a little bit different. So it's like a game of chicken between, I'd imagine, Jordan Love's agent and Tua's agent. And I just don't think that that's, you know, an effective way to get anything done for either party, because I think the situations that they found themselves in are also kind of different. So just really interesting for anybody concerned about like his possible regression. We've seen it a number of times with like Lawrence and Hurts and these guys that come on to go play in a Super Bowl and, you know, have really good seasons and earn the deals. Like, I think Jordan Love will be right in that, but yeah, let's shift and talk about training camp because, like you said, let's start with the defense because it sounds like the defense is just lighting things up. And I want to talk about the secondary. I'm sure you do too, specifically because we don't know who's going to start next to Xavier McKinney. And everybody, it sounds like, is getting an opportunity to do that. And it sounds like everybody's making the most of it and everybody's actually looking really good. So what are some things that you, you know, have seen and heard from that group?
Yeah, it's been a lot, right? I think going into this season, you naturally assume that it's going to be Javon Bullard, which is a fair assumption. It's one I had as well. He was pick biased. He has the tools and the traits that you assume is going to be, you know, safety too. But like you said, they're kind of rotating everyone in. Previously, you know, they had Anthony Johnson Jr. in there as like the quote unquote vet, not to call him a vet, the second year player, basically being like, hey, rookies, you got to earn this, which I love that attitude. We've seen Evan Williams a ton. I've seen his name all over the place, looking really, really nice. I know that makes you happy because you've been super high on him. And then, of course, you know, Ketan Oladapo is going to come back from an injury. So we'll see how they work him in as well. I just think there's two things I would say. One is competition like breeds success. You're going to have the right person rise to the top, and that's what you want to see. It's way too early in training camp to be naming starters unless you are, you know, you're ones of one. Everyone knows Xavier McKinney is going to be the guy. Everyone knows like a Rashawn Gary is going to be, you know, there are clear ones and then there's everybody else. I also think when you're starting with a new scheme, you don't necessarily know who's going to fit correctly and what Jeff Hapley wants to do. So this is also the time to be playing around for him to see what he has in each player and how he wants to use them. We've talked about this a ton this offseason, but I don't know if they're going to be so rigid as to keep players in one like box and one silo every single game, you know, all 17 games of the season either. So while maybe Javon Bullard will start opposite Xavier McKinney week one because he just happens to win out that job in training camp, it might not stay that way, not because he doesn't play at a high level, but because in another game with a different opponent, Evan Williams makes more sense. So I think it's really nice to be hearing that there's A, a rotation, and B, some competition, but also C, that there's multiple guys who are fitting well within that second like safety role. Same with CB2, that competition at CB2. Although I do feel like a little bit more than safety, CB2 is starting to really feel like Eric Stokes's job.
Yeah, so let's kind of segue into that, because that's, you know, we've seen, and going into camp, we figured it was going to be Eric Stokes versus Carrington Valentine. And it sounds like, and again, it's super, super early, but it sounds like Eric Stokes is really performing well, two picks in as many days, and I think two picks in one practice, actually, but looks really comfortable. I think it was Andy tweeted that he actually was like stride for stride with Christian Watson at one point, which, knowing the kinds of injuries that he's been dealing with the lower leg, really significant and really impressive that he wouldn't have, you know, lost some of that speed, because that was such a big component of his game. And before I let you talk about all of the corners in general, I also thought it was really interesting to see that Kalen King was the only corner doing slot drills with Keyshawn Nixon. I thought that was kind of telling. I thought maybe they'd do a little bit more cross training, throw Jair in there, throw whoever else in there to give them a shot. But yeah, just King and Nixon doing slot drills, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think to your point about not, they might not need to put Ja in there just because they know what he can do, and he might just like simply not need the cross training. Like they're just probably like, I mean, if I'm halfway, I'm like, I know I can put Ja anywhere and he's going to dominate. Right. And as far as like getting a seventh round rookie in, this is just my thought process. Again, I'm not a coach, but I'd be like, I want to see what this guy has and give him opportunities to like be on the field, in as many reps as possible. And like, we have our boundary guys. And while Keyshawn is, I think, clearly the starter in the slot, like we all know that he might be rotated out or might need assistance, or he's going to play, he plays already a much larger role on this team than just slot corner. And keeping him fresh is really important. It is interesting though, because Kalen King, I think, was just a boundary guy in college. Like, I don't think he played in the slot at all. So maybe they see something in him. I don't know. Again, it's so early in camp to be like gleaning anything like too significant. They're all just like interesting tidbits, but then the season can start and it can all shake out as like as expected. As far as the rest of the corners go, I mean, it's just so nice to hear that Stokes coming back from this injury healthy. I don't know, and that was not the expectation. It was super gruesome. We saw him struggle so much in 2023 just to get back on the field, and when he did get back on the field, it was just another injury and another injury again. And so for him to just like finally get shut down, take the time, get healthy, get right. You know, we heard him go with Christian Watson and get like more specialized care. Obviously, whoever they saw was some kind of magician. I don't mean that. I mean, you know, healthcare is real. And just get right in his body and not be losing his speed. Again, this is without pads, so I also take that with a grain of salt, right? You got to get the pads on to see like what pad speed looks like, but it's all really positive signs. I'm of the mind again that like he will likely be CB2 to start on the boundary, but the sentiment still stands as what I was just talking about with the safeties, where I think there will be times where it will make sense for Carrington to be in there, and he played well enough last season that he deserves that as well. The Packers have like a really positive problem right now, yeah, where they just have like three really nice, dominant, aggressive boundary corners for Jeff Hafley to use. And so it'll be interesting to see how he works them in.
Yep. And friend of the show, Jacob Westendorf, always used to say, sometimes injuries sort those things out too. So as much as you hate to think about it, all these guys are going to see the field a significant amount in 2024. And hopefully it's just in different sub packages. But of course, you know, you do like to have the cross training there and just the expectation that they will play a bunch. So let's shift to the offense a little bit, because I think possibly the biggest question mark, we know the wide receivers look great. Josh Jacobs looks great. The running backs look great. You know, I think the big question mark here outside of the quarterbacks, which we can talk about a little bit, is the offensive line. Yeah. And, you know, there were expectations for who would play where. And again, we're 3 days into camp, so take that again with a grain of salt. These guys are going to play probably everywhere across the line. But Elgton Jenkins has taken some snaps at center, which I thought is really interesting. Could just be covering for that rest days and injuries. Also could be that they're trying him out to see what they've got. Andre Dillard started at right tackle, did not perform well, and Kadeem Telfort came in and has played right tackle since and has actually impressed. I think he stonewalled Rashawn Gary at one point, which is pretty cool. So thoughts on the offensive line, because these guys are moving. We've seen Sean Ryan at both guard spots. Rashid Walker kind of locked down left tackle in its entirety from what I've seen, but where's your head at?
I heard Rashid was like doing some work against Rashawn Gary, which is awesome to hear, because apparently Rashawn is like full, I don't know,
three sack day.
Yeah. Like I was going to call him like Lion, hear the lion roar. I don't know. That's like the vibe I'm getting from him in training camp. It's just mauling guys. So good for Rashid, because I don't know if it was like necessarily 100%, you know, that he would have that spot locked down. So I'm glad to see him kind of continuing the development that we saw towards the end of the season. This is exactly what I expected this training camp from the offensive line. Rotating guys at all five positions for the most part, trying to see who fits where. This is just going to be a game of chess for the Packers this offseason. They brought in, like you said, Andre Dillard on that kind of potentially like end of his career, like last ditch effort, prove it deal. They drafted a bunch of guys all across the draft. This is, you know, the Josh Myers year to see if he, you know, gets that next contract. Like, this is just a lot of figuring out who is going to start where, who is going to play where. It doesn't sound, to your point about Elgton, that this is anything like too serious. It's just, again, early training camp reps. It's just a very Packers thing to move guys around in all five positions. We've seen so many different combinations already. I feel like my timeline in training camp is just like different five names across the offensive line, which is what you want, because by the time that they get to week one, like, they will have, I think, solidified how they feel about who the best five are.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing that's probably been not necessarily interesting, but like somewhat expected, but still you scratch your head a little bit, is for Jordan Morgan to come in and be drafted as a tackle. I haven't seen him taking a ton of tackle reps. And again, I'm not there, so I could very easily be missing all of that. But it seems like he's been playing a lot of right guard. And if he's one of your best five, like, that absolutely makes sense. That's what the Packers do. They draft you wherever and put you wherever because they want you on the field if you're talented. But for all the talk about letting him win the tackle job, Rashid and Zach Tom finished the season playing really, really good football on the edges. And I think it was really hard for the Packers to, you know, take a first round pick and be like, well, we'll see. Competition's pretty stiff, you know, and I like that they are giving guys opportunities everywhere and the versatility that all of them have to play multiple spots. But yeah, I'm not sure that Jordan Morgan, I'm sure he'll get looks, especially once the preseason game starts and he's got game action and reps to take against guys other than Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. But yeah, it sounds like Rashid Walker's just not going to give up that spot, and Jordan Morgan might have to kick inside for his rookie season.
I mean, good for Rashid. Like, I love that for him. Again, we have a month right? We have a month of practices to go. So it's going to be, to your point, really interesting to see like what they do in preseason games, how they move guys around. If they do decide that it's just in everybody's best interest to get their first round pick on the field, whether it's at guard or at tackle, and they just prefer that versus like having him like redshirt, great. I'd rather have like the athletic freak somewhere. I do find it really interesting though, like the left tackle to right guard pipeline in terms of like development and stance and, you know, hand motions and all that. Just like, that's not the most natural. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that for him and how he handles it. But if he's the best, then put the best out there to protect Jordan Love.
I think it's also kind of cool that they didn't just immediately throw him in at right tackle when Andre Dillard was struggling. Like, I think that says a lot about the Packer way that Kadeem Telfort was an undrafted rookie last season and spent all of last season on the practice squad. And they were like, hey, you know, you deserve this shot to come in there and show us what you can do at right tackle. And then he played really well. So like, to reward the guy who's been on your practice squad and be like, well, you've been here longer. And maybe that wasn't their line of thinking at all. And they just don't think Jordan Morgan can play right tackle. But I did think that was pretty cool to see some of these like guys that you would have called like a fringe roster player or practice squad player going into camp, getting some of those early looks. But
not to have a negative spin on that either, but there is, I think it was a few years ago, they had someone, I can't remember his name, like working with the ones. And you're like, huh, that's interesting. Like, do they love him with the ones? And then he was a roster cut at the end of camp. So there's also a the flip side of that, right? Where unfortunately part of training camp is they have to cut this roster down at some point.
And can they hang too with the...
Exactly. So you have to put these guys in, you know, with the best of the best and see like if you are a fringe roster spot guy, like are you worth keeping around? Again, I hate to do the negative spin zone piece of this, but if you're going to be on the depth chart, we might have to call you up. And what does it look like if we need to do that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. Do you have, you know, any other positions that you've been really excited about that you've been watching as we kind of wrap up the first week of camp? Any sound bites or interviews that you liked from the floor group players?
I mean, everyone just seems so hype. Like the vibe in camp, we say this every season, but it just seems so positive. Even with the Jordan Love, like, you would think that your QB1, like quote unquote holding out would have this like dark cloud, but it just doesn't feel that way at all.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk a little bit about the running backs, just if we have a few minutes, because you mentioned Josh Jacobs and I feel like with all the big names and all the changes that have happened this offseason, at least I feel like I don't think about or talk about him nearly enough. But I'm really excited to see him. I know he's been quoted a ton about how much he loves this offense and how excited he is to play in this offense and get the opportunities that he never got in the Raiders offense, especially when it comes to like actually running routes and catching passes and just like being more involved. I think it's going to be really fun to watch him behind like an actual good offensive line. But more than that, I think of note, Marshawn Lloyd is hurt. So he's not practicing right now. And I don't think he's by any means a potential like training camp casualty. If anything, this actually means this is really good for AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
For anyone out there who's like an AJ Dillon stan, he was not necessarily a roster lock going into training camp. He was someone who was like really gonna, I think, have to prove it. I mean, they gave him a prove it deal, right? This like 1 year weird contract. And now he's RB2 in camp. Matt LaFleur had only good things to say about him. I mean, really, really, really good things to say about him. You can see he passes the eye test. He looks, if it's at all possible, he looks more monstrous than ever before. And it's nice that he's going to get like this kind of like, he's being given this opportunity a little bit on a silver platter now. Injuries do that, fine. But I can't help but be happy for him, because just as a person and as a player, he's the easiest to root for. He's just, he's a homer. He is a Green Bay homer. So I'm excited to see what he does. I'm sure he will get touches in preseason games, surprisingly. And so it'll be good to see what he does with these opportunities. But looks, Andy Herman called him svelte, which I think is like the perfect word to describe it. And I think I will have my eye on that group, especially while Lloyd is not practicing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, because I think it's, you know, it's really important to mention him and mention that he wasn't just, you know, kind of like resting on his laurels and like, oh, they brought me back for 1 year. Like, you can tell how much it means to him. And even when he came back on the contract, I think one of the first things he said was like, I'll carry water for the team. Like, I just want to be around this team. And to not just say those things, but then to come out and look the way that he does, and, you know, for Matt LaFleur to acknowledge it and say that he looks, you know, as fast and, you know, shifty as he probably ever has in his career is really cool. I think my favorite soundbite from the week was Javon Bullard. You probably saw this one. It made the rounds, but they asked him about getting comfortable in the defense as a rookie. And he basically just said, I don't ever want to be comfortable, no matter how long I'm here, because I think when you get comfortable, you get complacent, and I always want to be challenged, and I always want to be getting better. So Matt Schneidman asked Matt LaFleur about that, and Matt LaFleur was just geeked. Like, he was so excited. He was like, oh, I love that so much. So I think that's such a good energy, and that's something you would expect, like, Jordy Nelson to say, right? Like, it's not something that you would expect Javon Bullard, who's a rookie, coming in opposite, like, Xavier McKinney to say. Like, that's just really cool. He was a high pick, too, you know? So he has the pedigree. He played at Georgia. So to come in and still have that like ethic and motivation is very cool. So I think that just shows you how bad this Packers team wants it from AJ Dillon and the rookies. Like, the mentality is just, they're coming into work, and they know that they can win some games.
Yeah. They're fired up. They are fired up. Any like injuries? I know there's been a few that have like walked into training camp that have surprised me a little bit, but anything that's like on your radar that you're watching for?
The ones that I was probably most concerned about were like Jaden Reed, which turned out to be nothing. Tucker Kraft, I want to see him get back, because I think that the tight ends are such an important piece going into year two. But I don't think there's anybody that I saw that I was like, oh no, you know, not them. It didn't seem like anybody was going to really like start the season injured. It seems like they'll all be back probably by preseason, even for one or two games.
Yeah, I feel this. I feel similarly.
Cool. We did it. We did week one of training camp already in the books. I feel like it just got here, and now it's already past us. And next week we'll be recording in August.
That's so crazy. August means that we are in our last month before football season is back. I am so excited. Not to close out on something totally Packers unrelated, but I just finished watching Receivers. Did you watch that on Netflix yet?
I've not watched it yet.
Okay, I'm going to put a plug in for everyone. It was so good. I know it got like kind of mixed reviews because people are comparing it to QB1 and it was very different, but I really enjoyed it. It was so fun to get their personalities and hear like the flip side of like just the insider things of what was happening during the season. And, you know, you got a decent amount of Packers looks, as like Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown are featured. So naturally there was like a few Packers games in there, including the Thanksgiving one. But just like hearing how players battle back from injury and how they deal with like the balance between having like family life and home life and going into the building and the mental side of things. Just loved it. Just loved all of it. And you know, we got to see DA, and that was lovely. He's just all class. I love the Adams family. So yeah, plugging that show. It was very good. It was only 8 episodes. So Netflix, we need a season 2 and we need a Packers receiver on there. That's my plug.
I love it. Who would you pick from the Packers to be on it?
Which receiver? I mean, they also did George Kittle, so you could do a tight end.
Okay. I mean, well, I'll open it up then. Who would you take?
No.
I mean, if they had running backs, just what Packer would you want to see on there? O lineman would be a great show. Just put O lineman
would be a really funny show. I don't know. I mean, these were like, I mean, these are the top dogs, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think if they did a season two, they'd probably have to look at like a Jamar Chase, maybe one of like the top rookies in the past few classes. I think the most from the Packers, it would either be Christian Watson or Jaden Reed. I don't know if anyone else would be like worth the look yet. But I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
Well, I'm gonna have to cram that show in before the preseason starts. August 10th is the Packers' first game against the Browns in Cleveland. But we'll have a couple episodes before then talking about more sights and sounds from training camp, possibly having some guests on, which would be great. But that is all the time that we have for today's show. Thank you so much for following along with us, whether you listen in the audio format, everywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or right here on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Like I said, we'll be back because there's more training camp and we're going to be here to talk about it because before we know it, the season will be here. So thank you so much for listening and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.